Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This hour of the Greg Hill Show brought to you by Subaru of New England.
It's the Greg Hill Morning Show with your host, Greg Hill. Streaming live from WEEI.com and the radio.com app. And now, it's time for the Greg Hill Morning Show on Sports Radio WEEI.
We also know that just a few miles away from that food market is China's only biosafety level 4 super laboratory that researches human infectious diseases. China is obviously very secretive about what happens at the Wuhan laboratory. We don't know, again, where this virus originated. That's why it's so important that we at least ask the questions and get the evidence. But China continues to block our ability to ask those questions and get that evidence.
Ken, thank you. Praise you. Something to get. I would prefer Nick talk about composting again to endless speculation about Tom Brady. But how about this news today that patient zero in Wuhan did not, in fact, get the coronavirus from the wet market? Where we have been told that the patient got the coronavirus from the bat bisque or what have you.
And the timeline is also bunk, as they say. So this information comes to us courtesy of the BBC. They reported yesterday that the unidentified man, known as Patient Zero, was in his 70s. He was bedridden after a stroke, and he suffered from dementia. He allegedly fell ill on December 1st of last year, 1 week earlier than what was reported by Wuhan health authorities. They said the first patient appeared December 8th. Now, there was a study that appeared in The Lancet on January 24th. They analyzed the first 41 cases of coronavirus patients, and they say that that is consistent with what they found, that this guy was patient zero. He lived about 4 to 5, like, T-stops away from the wet market.
Yeah.
Hadn't been there.
No, the wet market is the fall guy.
Right.
It's the fall disease starter place.
I mean,
place.
We probably should get rid of them anyway.
Well, you would want to get rid of the wet markets. I understand that with your love for animals.
It's not even that. It's just the conditions there are just disgusting.
Well, I don't think, can you still go to the North End and see, like, the rabbits hanging out in front of the butcher shops in the order?
Have Maybe they one or two places.
That? Has that ended?
People get a little triggered.
Yeah. But, I mean, mark my words, this is some nefarious activity from China that is involved in this. And we're never going to get the answer.
No.
We're never going to find out how it started.
Now, here you go. Republican Senator and Greg Hill. No. Reckless speculation about China.
Wait, why is that a partisan opinion?
You have no evidence of that. And it's just
I can't speculate. I mean, we spend hours speculating about the future of Tom Brady when none of us knows anything about... I mean, but
okay, what, you can, but this guy should not.
You don't think it's even somewhat believable that they had some kind of a biological weapon experiment going on and somehow it ended up infecting this guy in the hospital?
Does he know that, or is he just saying it's
speculating about it.
Senator Cotton did clap back at the New York Times reporter that penned that long piece that said he's just repeating a conspiracy theory and that all the information had been debunked by experts. He fired off a few tweets yesterday basically saying, like, nope, that's not true. They haven't ruled that out as a possible source. And he said if the reporter had actually done her job, she'd know that experts don't actually rule out a lab incident as the origin. No wonder the public has lost faith in at New York Times.
Well, do you think that we're attempting to practice or prepare for biological warfare at some point in this country? Like, do you think that we're not, like, in some deep secret laboratory that we're not, like, figuring out some kind of a disease that we can use on somebody if we have to?
Yeah, like a germ lab right at BU? That's taken over.
No, we're just growing alternative hamburgers. That's all we're doing in this country is developing more plant-based treats. There's definitely nothing nefarious in the federal government. Are you kidding me?
And don't you think Senator Cotton has probably heard something that leads him to say this publicly? This isn't totally out of thin air, that this has been...
Heard something.
Of course, as a senator.
We literally just spent 3 hours doing the same thing about Brady, Ken. It's not out of the realm of possibility.
You're a senator. You are fanning the fuel of anti-Chinese sentiment.
Okay, so how do you think Patient Zero got it?
I have no idea. There's literally thousands of explanations that are possible. This guy handpicks one, which is going to create hysteria.
I mean, this texter says, Ken, how do you think the pro-democracy movement is progressing now with the coronavirus? Probably not very well over there.
I don't even know what that means.
They're saying that if you're the Chinese government, you might not, you know, you might use a disease like this to slow things down when it comes to the pro-democracy movement.
Those
who want to oppose your government.
But somebody in power here to be suggesting that is legitimate, has backing to it.
You're talking about a government that ran their people over with tanks in Tiananmen Square. Because they dared to protest.
But how do you think that's going to go over to his constituents, to Tom Cotton's constituents? They're going to start that, oh boy, I don't trust anything.
Have you been briefed by Adam Silver or something? all right. This is Jeff from New Jersey. What's up, Jeff?
Good morning, guys. Greetings from the Jersey Shore once again.
What's up, man?
Hello.
How are you, everybody?
Excellent.
I had to chime in on this conversation as an outsider to Patriot Nation. I love you guys, but here's the deal. There's no way that you can split these hairs to determine who has more responsibility. You could not accomplish what you've accomplished. And I'm going to give you the perfect game to show how it required the greatness of both to accomplish what they did. The AFC Championship in Kansas City. It took Belichick's game plan to hold that offense to zero in the first half. And then Andy Reid and Mahomes figured it out. In the second half, they couldn't be stopped. And then it was turned over to Brady and his, you know, greatness to be able to accomplish what they did. So the idea of saying it's more Brady, it's more Belichick, I understand the argument. But I don't think there's any way to really... To ever know this. I mean, they couldn't have done what they did, 9 Super Bowls without each other.
You're only going to know it. First of all, I don't know why Curtis needs to make it a debate for the 1,000th time, but you're only going to know it if Tom Brady goes elsewhere. Then you're really going to know it.
But will we? Because what if they're both successful? And then guess what? Belichick is able to make the Patriots successful with either a veteran backup, someone they draft, or Stidham weapons and a reconstituted defense, goes long haul, takes over Shula. Brady goes somewhere else, 11-5, 39 touchdowns. Great. Happy for both of them. And I'm so glad you hung up on that caller because he made way too much sense. That's exactly the point. In that AFC Championship, Belichick had a phenomenal game plan in the first half. Kyle Van Noy, unstoppable. Sadly, Tom Brady throws a pick in the end zone. Ken, could have been a bigger, but could have been an easier win for them. In the second half, they decipher it. They crack the Belichick code. And then Brady turns it on, makes some phenomenal throws. And then he is laser sharp in overtime. Guess what? Belichick and Brady together again. Wonder Twin Power. Activate Super Bowl.
But there's literally one or two maybe people who have ever walked the face of the earth that could have done what Brady did in that overtime in the end of the fourth quarter on the road at Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City in the freezing cold in the AFC Championship. That's why it's Brady.
But why is it so important for you to prove that?
Because I like Tom Brady. I don't like Bill Belichick. That's why.
And because you're concerned that Bill is making a drastic error here.
Yes, major error. And Bob Kraft, who is in charge, who will likely skate for a little bit of this, is the one person who can fix this. He can say, Bill, not your call. I own the team. We're keeping Brady.
Oh, I don't think Kraft can skate in any scenario where Brady departs, let alone even gets to free agency. Belichick is the one who probably will not take nearly as much heat as Kraft will, because Belichick is a football guy. He's going to do what's best for the team, blah, blah, blah. They'll explain it away in his competitive balance. But for Kraft, he will get so much crap about why weren't you able to stem this? Why weren't you able to get in the way of this? Oh, he does not want to handle. He is not equipped to handle the public fallout that'll come from this, and I don't think he wants it.
Well, to Ken's point earlier, when has Kraft faced any questions about last offseason? I mean, he didn't get any heat for that. He's never talked about it publicly, as far as I can tell.
What part about last offseason?
The issue in Florida.
What happened in Florida?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I mean, he said something about it going into that Oscar, huh?
He released a statement. He has never actually taken questions on it at all.
Actually, he had Alex Bregman speak for him and said he was sorry.
It was just a
seconds.
Piece of metal.
It was just.
This is Paul. Hello, Paul.
Hey, Greg. How you doing?
What's up, Paul?
So for Curtis, let's go back in time and say Brady doesn't get drafted by the Patriots and he becomes an undrafted person. What do you think he does in his career?
Depends what team he goes to.
Would he go to a team? How many undrafted quarterbacks play in the NFL?
I don't know. The guy he beat was an undrafted quarterback, and Kurt Warner won an MVP.
That's one guy. Can you name any others?
I don't know. Off the top of my head, I don't know all the undrafted
quarterbacks, but
Kurt Warner.
Maybe Tom Brady doesn't get drafted, and he becomes what? Insurance salesman?
Well, let's say Tom Brady doesn't get drafted, Paul.
Doesn't marry Giselle?
Paul, let's say Brady doesn't get drafted. Belichick's 5-13 as a head coach, and they continue losing his second season. He gets fired, and he has to beg his way onto Parcells' staff.
He would be a great insurance salesman.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the best.
When the Patriots called, I was so excited. You know, I was like, I don't have to be an insurance salesman, you know?
Uh-huh.
Got that sign. Boom, shakalaka.
Hello, Craig?
Yes.
Hey, what's up, Craig?
Good. Listen, I got to shut Curtis up. I don't think he knows what he's talking about because a sixth-round draft pick cannot come off a bench and do what he has done unless he has a coach to coach him there. And that is the bottom line on that one.
Charlie Weiss did a great job.
You know what is super highly overrated, Greg, is Bill Belichick's game plan in Super Bowl 36. The entire idea of hitting Torrey Holt, Isaac Bruce, and Marshall Faulk as hard as you can again and again and again, keeping them battered and bruised, hesitant on offense until they finally were able to find a way to figure it out late in the fourth quarter, and look who came through in the end.
Yes.
Oh, jeez.
Yes.
And it makes so much sense. We should just hang up and listen.
And you know what's irony is a guy like Curtis complaining about nepotism. I mean, that is the definition of irony.
If there's ever been an expert on nepotism, it's me. I get hired by CNN whenever they talk about Barron.
All right, we have got to get to what is trending here.
Your source for off-season Patriots coverage. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Well, you don't want to risk getting stuck on the road. That's why 60 million drivers rely on AAA to keep them on the go in any car they are in 24/7. Join AAA today, AAA.com/join. So Drew Brees coming back. And we talked about this earlier, but Teddy Bridgewater now officially going to be a free agent. I would say if Brady leaves, that's a guy you should kick the tires on. Now, he's probably going to cost, what, 18?
I was going to say. That would
plus 20 million? I don't know.
2 for $35, maybe like a three for 50 kind of deal. And hey, look, 5-0 last year with the Saints. Looked pretty damn competent in a good offense with a good coach.
Yeah.
Hey, Greg, is it Brees or is it Sean Payton?
Do you think that news changes Bill Belichick's opinion in any way, shape, or form?
Could. I mean, some have made the case that Bill wants a mobile quarterback to get out of some trouble. That's what he desires in a quarterback. I don't know if you agree with that, Fitzy. Somebody that can move a little bit, change a pace from what Brady got you. But if that's the case, Bridgewater's a nice guy.
And have Bridgewater play for 2 years and grow Stidham or just sort of roll with him, draft somebody else? Look, that's an option that would be on the table that would be palatable, but everyone still wants Tom Brady to stick around the most. Are we good with that? Can we keep going?
Greg Olsen left. 1 year deal. Didn't leave here, but of course signed with Seattle. $7 million the contract there. Red Sox may be in the market to acquire some prospect talent per San Diego's Union Tribune, discussing picking up Will Myers and his $30 million to get a couple of prospects back in return as well. Rebuild the farm system.
Does that put them over the luxury tax with Will Myers, though? That would be the ultimate slap in the Red Sox face.
It's not possible. Well, it's unclear what they would unload. Maybe they would ship off like Jackie Bradley or something. I don't know. Who knows? Apparently, the wheeling and dealing is not done from the Red Sox. Talked about Manfred. The NHL trade deadline next Monday. Some deals yesterday, including Brendan Dillon going to Washington, so the Bruins miss out on him. Second and third round picks to get Dillon to the Capitals. Face off tonight at Edmonton for the Bruins as at 8:30. This is The Greg Hill Show.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need.
Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
Every time I hear a great AAF band, it makes me sad this morning, Ken.
This may be the last great AAF band ever. Black Keys, last rock band ever in America.
What about Shine? Well, Shinedown was before Black Keys, right? I mean, we had a discussion earlier about the last, what you consider to be the last great rock band, because, of course, WAAF has been sold, and so we had a discussion about whether rock music is dead, and I don't know.
Definitely it's definitely dormant. I mean, and probably not coming back, right? What would revive rock music?
A great band would.
Yeah.
I guess.
I mean, a great band would revive it.
Shinedown and Black Keys actually both founded in 01.
In 01?
Same year.
Black Keys from Akron, yeah. Ohio. Hell of a live show if you've never Akron. Been, Greg. Go.
Hello, Ryan.
Hillman.
Yes.
This all began in Boston.
What?
The coronavirus. Well.
Oh, really? I haven't heard that
calling
yet.
You. Look up Doc.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I got to tell you something. If you want to call in and use the, you got to use the, what do they call it? The
Watch
King's
language.
The King's English? Is that what you're supposed
there's
to?
There's a very clear list of like 8 words that you can't
use.
I mean, I don't know why. It's 2020.
Are they ever going to change that?
Probably not. Not for terrestrial radio.
I mean, if somebody... Well, I mean, if you can use, I mean,
I mean if you can drop C-bombs in your car, why can't you drop them on the radio? I get it,
but then
you
there's
can't.
No difference from the podcast to the satellite to the terrestrial. It's all just one
right,
big
it's
hodgepodge.
Just one big conglomeration of crap.
That guy's C-bomb started out as the coronavirus, and then
I was like, I'm
up,
right here, guy. Jesus.
I'll tell you a bigger fear than the coronavirus. Have you seen the story about the concern in India that when our president visits the Taj Mahal, they're not doing enough to protect him from a random vicious primate attack?
Not wrong. They're definitely not doing enough. So there's...
But is this like a thing that happens in India all the
it
time?
It is, yes. They have this rogue troop of monkeys that tries to attack people around the Taj Mahal. They've tried sterilization methods, like, you know, fixing them, whatever. Evidently, women and children are afraid of going up on the roofs of their houses because a lot of the homes have been taken over by monkeys.
Yeah.
The forestry department has been called in to try to keep them at bay during Trump's visit. They say that there are anywhere between 500 and 700 macaques living around the Taj Mahal.
Listen, let me tell you something. The last time there was a palace and a monkey attack, a very beautiful woman with a green face who had a lot of power lost her life. It didn't end well. If it weren't for magic shoes, our hero would have never made it home.
Horrible. That might be
very
the great,
sad, not perfecto.
That might be the greatest victory in his political career if he were able to fend off a rabid, vicious primate that attacked him. Like if he just killed it with his bare hands at
Listen,
the Taj Mahal.
The last thing I want to do is have to go all the way to India and fight 500 to 700 little Bloombergs.
Oh, boy.
A bunch of mini mics. No, thank you.
Actually, some other news. I don't know if it's related. Mutt's doing a remote at the Taj Mahal. Well, I
mean, you know, you can see it coming from a mile away, and you're like, I still can't wait to get there.
I know.
It's like the flying... watch out.
Greg
one
is
on the
triggered.
Steps.
Also, by the way, you can say that on the public airwaves, Danielle, but you can't take that caller. 500 to 700 what?
That's the macaque.
That's what they're
called.
Yeah, that's what they are. the Wizard of Oz where they had the flying monkeys?
Yes.
That's similar to what is going on near the Taj Mahal, I guess.
I'll tell you what'll get rid of those monkeys. Nonstop Brady talk. Brady Watch will do it.
You know who we need to go over there with the president? Mark Wahlberg.
That's right.
He would be able to stop the monkeys.
He would. He would play everyone in the movie, too.
Literally everyone.
There's not a moment in this world you can't think that Mark Wahlberg is either not doing push-ups, praying, eating turkey burger and egg whites, or developing a movie about Boston. That's what helps me sleep at night.
A big jewel-encrusted cross. Right 2 inches above his navel. Either Mark or his wife, I forget, I follow both of them, I forget which one had posted the photo, put up a photo on Valentine's Day of Rhea was in his lap, and all I could see was he has this portrait of him and Will Ferrell hanging on the wall tuxedos.
What, a portrait?
Oh, it's hysterical.
Oh my God,
it's
that
so
movie's,
funny.
That movie, The Other Guys, is so
that
good.
Is a good movie.
Damn. Yeah. That is, funny. Yeah,
Dirty
that
Mike
is
and the Boys.
Maybe the most underrated comedy in the last 10-12 years.
No,
and
that is a good movie.
On the subject of Boston, guys, real quick. Is Affleck back in the Boston circle? He's fallen out. He makes Argo. We love him. Then he loses Jennifer Garner. Everyone's mad at him. Is he back in the circle of trust now that he took on Kellerman yesterday?
I think so. Oh, that's pretty good stuff. Mm. And he was right about Tom Brady, I think.
Yeah.
You know,
Everyone forgot about Geely.
We forgave Geely. Actually, Geely is like Showgirls. It's Birdemic and Sharknado. So bad, it's good. It's so good. But like
he's great in the town. Like, I mean, he's a good actor.
He's fantastic. He's a great actor.
I think he's a better director than actor, but
you think so?
Yes.
What has he directed?
Argo.
That was a good movie.
Gone Baby Gone. Yeah. The Town.
Yeah.
He's made some pretty damn good movies.
Yeah.
But yesterday when he took on Kellerman, first he's in the greatest group chat of all time. It's a group chat with Damon, Affleck, and Brady, the most coveted group chat in America.
And Glenn.
And we're load him up. And second of all, the fact that he argues with Kellerman and basically puts Kellerman in his place, like, how is Boston not preparing for Ben Affleck Day?
I mean, there's a big difference between knowing whether you get an off-speed pitch or a curveball and putting on 50 pounds of muscle, taking steroids. That doesn't mean to diminish the importance of following the rules, and people who didn't follow the rules should, like anybody else, have to suffer the consequences. I'm disappointed. I mean, I can tell you Deflategate was bullshit. You know, that was a totally made up fraudulent claim. Mm. But excuse me for saying.
No, that's okay.
That's all right.
It's okay.
You can say it once.
As long as we don't say it, it's okay.
So he takes a free swipe at Manfred and also defends Brady. Later just absolutely just roundhouses Kellerman. Like, come on, Affleck, he's back. He wasn't in the Hyundai commercial, but he's back in the townie circle of trust, right? Come on.
Listen, who among us has not been, well, of a certain age group, has not been dragged into the library at school every week to have the Betamax tape popped in to watch Voyage of the Mimi? When it comes to Ben Affleck, there's a throwback for you.
And who among us hasn't gotten hammered and gotten a full back tattoo?
That too.
He was a good Batman. You think he was a good Batman?
Why did you say that name? Why did you say Martha?
He was a pretty good Batman.
He's not a bad, pretty good Batman. Terrible movies. Good Batman.
Good Batman. All right, we're going to take a break, but we will be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Back to the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
You know, it's anger. I feel like every single guy over there needs a beating.
I like that attitude from Nick Markakis. I don't know that that's the way it's going to go. Although I think what's the Vegas line, the over under on how many times they throw at him? Is it 83 correct. And a half times that the Astros get thrown at?
Yes.
What do you think, Mr. Baseball?
Is it way more, under? They're going to start dishing out suspensions. They're going to get soft. Instant like ejections and suspensions for throwing at a guy.
So you can't lose control of a curveball, or you can't try to protect the box from a Correa or a Springer or any number of the power hitters they have there. And if you happen to graze them, it's going to be seen as frontier justice for 2017.
That's what's going to happen.
If I'm Aroldis Chapman, knowing that we have a great bullpen with the Yankees and that Altuve probably jobbed me with a buzzer dinger to get to the World Series in 2019, first thing I do, kerplunk. Right on the old left glute, 99.
But don't you think you're going to hear more guys actually expressing how they feel, which is that like they're disgust, like Aaron Judge and others, like they're gonna basically call him out for it.
Greg, how many people have stepped up from a player perspective from the day that this scandal broke to today and defended the Astros that don't wear their colors?
Zero.
Same number of jokes I've landed on today's show. Zero.
Can we stop with the Mark Teixeiras and other Yankees on ESPN saying, woe is me, about the integrity of the game when they played with Alex Rodriguez in one World Series? Like, to me, it's a little much from the baseball people speaking out against cheating. I don't know. It's just a little bit.
Because they're all involved in it?
Right. Baseball has been, I mean, Alex Cora obviously knew what the Astros were doing, if we're going to believe them, they weren't actually doing it with the Red Sox, and he didn't rat on the MLB. He basically almost sacrificed an ALCS series against a team he knew he was cheating using an apparatus that he created and didn't rat him out because he knew he was up to something too.
Yeah, but Curtis, look at a guy like Justin Turner, or as I like to call him, Ginger Euculus. And you see, like, what? I mean, they look like each other. You're not exactly looking at like an Aaron Judge prototype who looks like a complete like creatine and whey protein filled super baseball bro. This is just like one of those dirt dogger types who has earned his way to being a major leaguer who now feels jobbed out of something that they scrapped and fought for. I get it. I get being pissed off about this, and they should be. They absolutely should be.
Plus,
I don't know.
Baseball should they should just strip the title and be done with it. That makes it go away. I mean, Ken, you're basically saying there's no way to suspend these guys because of the union. There's because of this CBA, whatever.
Why do you have to use that voice to describe it?
Well, because I mean, you're acting like they shouldn't even try, you know. But you don't sit there and go, hey, wait a second, the credibility of the game is in question, and they ought to do something more than they've done.
I agree. This is worse than pace of play or anything else people have drummed up to attack the game. But what are you going to do? I mean, so if they would go through long, protracted, drawn-out attempts to suspend players and fail, is that any better? Does that restore credibility to the league? No. And this Curtis, like, Wiggy, to say everybody is doing it, that's so stupid. Like, if you get arrested for shoplifting, your excuse is not, well, everybody else is probably shoplifting too. That's not the reality.
Well, no, to use the same analogy that Wiggy uses every single day, you know, shoplifting is not the same as armed bank robbery.
Right.
And this is, I think the reason guys are pissed is because this is armed bank robbery,
of course,
not shoplifting.
But what about Cora We all agreed that he knew what the Astros were up to when the Red Sox played them in the playoffs in 2018. Yet he did nothing to stop them because he knew he was doing something similar. That's why baseball has always been quiet on steroids and other issues.
Yeah. I think that they could make it go away. The problem is part of it's on them because they didn't really do anything to stop it. They, they sent a little memo here and there to people, and they didn't really do what they could have done to stop
it. In fact, the whistleblower got crap on ESPN from Jess Mendoza and others for actually calling people to the attention of what was going on in the league.
Yeah.
So do we really think that baseball may have known about this and didn't stop it because they thought one day this could erupt into a headline-grabbing scandal that would finally get baseball, a sport that's been losing clicks and headlines and attendance for years? Some pub? Really? So I mean, that's insane.
How great is baseball, guys?
Guys, how great are buzzers on your chest, guys? How great are center field cameras turned into trash cans? And by the way, the guy the other day who showed up at Astros camp and started intermittently banging on a trash can, you are going to hear Stomp the Musical at every away park all season long. Whenever, like, I hope teams like Senator John, who plays the music for the Red Sox at Fenway, I hope they come up with
who
every
knows
great
that guy's name.
We've been friends for
we've been friends for 20 years.
He loves hoppy IPAs.
Oh my God,
Senator John.
Sorry about that.
How did you two meet? Some kind of traveling musical troupe or something?
We used to both be contributors to a New York City humor publication.
In the same improv group?
That would go out of business?
Yes, because the two guys who ran it went on to massive success writing screenplays in Hollywood. And I'm third man in on the Honk Trolla show.
Maybe it was like the Maddie and Nick show or something.
Close.
Like that.
Careful. I like it. Yeah, man, you're going to hear all that kind of, like, music trolling all year long for the Astros. And who's not in for it?
They deserve it.
Of course they do.
And they deserve to be thrown at.
Mm-hmm.
And
Wiggy would throw at him.
They deserve to take a beating. Hey, Wiggs.
What up, fellas? And Lady.
Hello.
What's going on?
You know, just doing what we do.
Listening to
the Brady talk. Yeah. I agree with Curtis.
You do?
Curtis, we agree. 60-40 Brady. That's what I would give it on.
60-40 is closer to the 50-50 that I said.
Well, 50-50 is sitting on the fence, man.
I'm not sitting on the fence. I hate that argument.
Yeah, because there's got to be. In sports, it's all, you know, everybody is kind of doing things to help the team win, but there's always a person, a coach, that does a little bit more and is a little bit more important to the victory. So that's like saying Brady and I were 50-50 on winning the Super Bowl.
You don't think Bill got more out of you than any other coach?
No, because when I went to Minnesota, I actually put up better numbers statistically. So Bill is a great coach, don't get me wrong. But sometimes, you know, he'll make mistakes, or maybe he might not feel a guy can do a certain things. But for me personally, when I went to Minnesota, I was able to – you know, lead the team in catches 2 years in a row, set records there. So sometimes, you know, you hit and you miss. You know, Bill's like any coach. You're always looking for bigger and better. And but I do agree with you on that one, Curtis. I would say Brady is six titles. Could he have won in another place? Maybe. I don't know. It depends on what organization. I know Ken brought up Pittsburgh.
Absolutely.
And they always had a good defense. So imagine if they had, you know, because think about Ben Roethlisberger did nothing in that first Super Bowl. Nothing. At least Brady against the Rams had that drive where at the end of the game, he was able to come down, lead us down the field, and we were able to put us in position to win. You see last year what happens when you got a guy like Jimmy Garoppolo who can't put a last-second drive together. I know somebody brought up Drew Brees, but he couldn't do it against the Rams in that whole...
Well, I mean, listen, you're on the record as saying that Bill is nothing next season without Tom Brady.
Yeah, I think that team is going to be 8-8 at best.
What are they with Teddy Bridgewater?
Eight and eight at best.
So it doesn't matter.
No. Because you need a quarterback and a good quarterback, and there's not many out there. And when you have one, to move on from one, because I forget which one of you guys said it. Well, Bill's thinking about the next 5 or 10
years.
Yeah,
he is. I said that.
Okay, so if he is thinking about the next 5 or 10 years, is Stidham the guy that's going to get you to the next five or 10 years?
You're asking if Stidham is. You have to ask if Bill thinks he is. Is Bill arrogant enough?
No, I'm asking you collectively. I'm asking the group collectively.
It doesn't matter what we think. It matters
what
he thinks.
Well, do you think Bill's right? Is Stidham the guy for the next 5 years?
I don't know.
Is Bill right if it's not even just about Stidham being the guy, but rather moving on from Brady and spending that on
a guy?
Of course, you're definitely going to need a guy. We don't know if it's going to be Stidham or Stidham and, or if the guy hasn't thrown a pass here.
Well, then, so you're saying, okay, so if it's the and, then is the and the free agents, Marcus Mariota, Jameis Winston, Teddy Bridgewater?
Maybe.
Okay, if you're saying no to those guys, then is the and the 23rd overall pick that the Patriots are going
to? Well, you just said maybe to Bridgewater, Wiggy.
So, Teddy Bridgewater is about the only guy that would be available without having to mortgage your future, a future they don't have a lot of.
How much do you think Bridgewater is going to make in the open market?
$17 to $18 million.
All right, so you're going to pay Teddy Bridgewater in his first year, you're going to invest $30 million to the quarterback position. For Bridgewater for next year, and what you're saying, he'll be the guy for the next 5 years?
If that's the way that it plays out and Belichick thinks I've got more years with this guy and I can spread out the rest of my money across the team, that's Bill's thinking. I'm still 70-30.
Well, that's a wrong way to think. Because
emotionally, I want Brady to stay. I think logistically, it's a three-quarters, one-quarter, stay-go scenario.
That's the wrong way to think, because the most important way to think, and we've heard Bill say this a million times, is Bill does what's best for the team and helping the team win. And your best bridge quarterback is Tom Brady. Teddy Bridgewater, in 2 or 3 years, you're looking for the next guy anyways. I don't think he's the guy in 2 or 3 years.
And this ESPN report, Wiggy, has Bridgewater seeking over $30 million.
I wouldn't doubt it one bit.
Nuts.
Look what they gave Nick Foles, right? I mean, now granted, he won a Super Bowl, but he only came and played a little bit of time. Teddy Bridgewater is 27 years old.
Actually, this is a fair comp. So if Jimmy Garoppolo plays a game and a half for the Patriots and then goes and wins a couple of games, I think he won four or five in San Francisco. He got five for $27.5 million apiece. So why wouldn't Bridgewater say, I want $27 million?
Yeah, Bridgewater's not coming here for $20 million.
That's a good comp.
Hello. Hello, Justin.
Good drop.
Hey, guys. How are you?
What's up, Justin?
So, pretty much everything I was going to say, you guys just covered in the last 5 seconds. But here's the deal. If, of all the people out there, I think Bridgewater is the guy that, and Wiggy, I disagree completely. I think if they got Bridgewater after seeing what he did this year when Breeze was hurt, I think they could still be, still have 10 or 11 wins. The issue that I'm thinking of and the thing that came to my mind was, we've got to think about the athlete that's coming to replace Tom Brady, too. This is one of the most severe, craziest sports markets in the country. And just like a David Price or somebody, he's going to be following the greatest ever. It's a pretty tough act to follow. So not only do I think you need to get a good football player, but you got to get a sound mind, too.
Now, let me ask you this question, right? I'll ask the whole room this, right? I don't know exactly what the guaranteed money Jimmy Garoppolo got, but let's say this. Would you give Teddy Bridgewater $45, $50 million guaranteed over a 4, 5, 6 year deal?
If I were Bill and I thought that the success were mostly about me, then yes, I would.
Okay. But I'm talking, if you've seen him play, would you do that as from, you know, just from seeing Bridgewater play, would you invest $45 to $50 million? Because that's what it's going to cost.
Was he 5-0 down there?
Yep.
Yep.
He was 5-0.
Yeah. I don't know.
Jimmy was 74 million.
How much was he?
74 guaranteed.
74 guaranteed for Garoppolo.
So it's going to cost, it's probably going
to cost you more than that to get.
Justin, would you?
I certainly would, especially given the time to let Stidham see if he's a make or break. I think that number, Wiki, that makes sense to me. That's a rational decision when you're trying to pick up the pieces from where Brady left off.
But I think it's more now because Danielle just said it was $74 million guaranteed for Garoppolo. That's where Teddy Bridgewater is going to want to be. He's going to want to be in that group.
Right. Kirk Cousins is decent at best over, 5, 6 years in Washington with two franchise tag years, gets 84 over three. All guaranteed.
So I'm asking, would you pay Bridgewater over 5 or 6 years? Would you give him $70+ million guaranteed? Or would you give Brady 2 years of, what did we call it, $54 million?
if they give Teddy Bridgewater $50 million guaranteed and let Brady sign with the Raiders for 2 years and $60
million, this is nickel and diming. That's
the dumbest
insane.
Thing in the history of Boston sports.
Curtis, I agree. I got to agree with you there. That would be the biggest slap in the face of Brady ever. Like,
well, then why didn't Bill give him 2 years last year?
Well, I think that was a huge mistake. It's like my great financial lady Trish says, Patriots team mom. Why step over
the soup?
Why step over dollars to chase down nickels and dimes?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know?
You like that?
Yeah, I do.
Just put that on a T-shirt.
Yeah. Put that out. That should be on the backside of the Wigs Out.
I'm looking for some dimes to chase.
Well, we got those Atlanta Booty Hawks T-shirts in production.
Yeah.
Here's a text that says you got to love Wiggy thinking he knows better than Bill Belichick.
I'm not saying I know better than Bill Belichick, but I'm saying there are times when Bill Belichick makes certain decisions and go, you know what, Bill, I don't know if I would have made that decision. Is that wrong to say?
I mean, I think you would have played Butler.
Right. I thought that was a bad decision on Bill's part.
We can all agree that not playing Butler was kind of a bad decision.
You know, and great coaches and great players, and we've seen it, they make some bad decisions at times. I mean, clearly Bill letting me go was, you know, right up there with not playing Butler.
I just heard you went on.
Check
to,
my stats, man.
You went on to set several records, I believe you just
several
said.
Several records.
Which records did you set?
Fastest to 100 receptions in Vikings history.
Most hot dogs after practice.
I did set that record, too.
Has that been
only fried hot dogs. I don't eat boiled.
Has that been eclipsed?
Not yet. I surpassed Moss, Chris Carter. Check the resume. I heard Curtis saying guys like Jermaine Wiggins and David Patton, but you know what?
He's an undrafted
free agent.
That's, you know, they used to say about Chris Carter, all he does, catch touchdowns.
Right.
Jermaine Wiggins, all he does, 7 yards, second and three.
It's all right. No, I averaged 10 yards. So
he
I mean,
did?
You know,
yeah, how many games was that, 200?
For my career?
Boy.
20 games.
20 games.
20 games. Check my resume.
Must have been rough for you having to face the Pats in Super Bowl 30. Was that a little weird?
No, it wasn't fine. I was business? Know, deep down inside, I was rooting for the Pats. As a Pats fan, I mean, you know, hey, it is what it is. I grew up, remember 96 when they lost to the Green Bay Packers.
I have your resume here, Wiggy. It says you got a -4 on your Wonderlic.
No, that's it. That test is culturally biased.
It's culturally biased.
Why don't we
have the Moab at 9:55?
Why don't we have a street smart test?
He's also able to make himself magically disappear off that Vikings cruise, if you remember correctly.
Allegedly.
What cruise? We don't know anything.
It was international waters, remember?
A lot of things get scrubbed.
Criminal justice.
As far as we're concerned, it's a smoot point.
I had another guy that I know and growing up in EC said, shake the right hands and twist the right arms and things go away.
That's just make it go away. All right. Well, what are you guys talking about next? You have no idea.
I have no idea. Oh, well, we do have Jim Craig on. He was the goalie for the U.S. Olympics team back on the Miracle on Ice when they beat.
And it's the 40th anniversary of that. They beat the Russians.
Yeah. Yep. Imagine that. Yeah. So that's pretty sweet. Yeah. Mike Ruzioni, local kid. You know,
yeah.
So mm-hmm.
Jim Craig used to have the Lifesavers commercial with his dad, if I remember correctly. That was it. That's probably before your time.
Yeah, I don't remember the Miracle on Ice. What was the year?
1980.
Yeah, I was 5 years old. I mean, and really wasn't huge back then.
Want to know an amazing thing about that, Wiggy? The game was actually aired on tape delay.
Yeah,
the results had been out for hours, and yet people still didn't know, and it was the biggest thing.
Yeah,
in the world.
So we got him on in the show, so that should be pretty fun.
All right, good. Well, we'll be back tomorrow morning at 6:00. Thank you for listening.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.